Christmas time is a time of year that's noted for the giving of gifts. Of course, part of the Christmas story we read this morning, I'm going to read a couple of verses, the same verses that I read this morning. Part of the Christmas story is a story that's part of it is giving of gifts. The Bible says, and again I read from Matthew chapter 2, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures," you know, sometimes how a word just reaches out and grabs you. You've read the verse hundreds of times before, but you're reading along and there's one word that it's like you'd never noticed before. That just sort of reaches out and grabs your attention. And that happened to me this week when I was reading this verse. I'd never noticed the word "their treasures." They opened their treasures. You know, it's easy for us to give to God what belongs to other people. But when we open our treasures, those things that are in our life that are important to us, those things that are in our life that we put a lot of value on, our treasures. And when we open our treasures and offer them to God, it's a way to express our love to him. And so they opened their treasures and they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And since that time, at Christmas time, in different ways, people have given gifts, and the giving of gifts has become an integral part of Christmas. We read a verse from James chapter 1, where God reminds us that every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from him. And God does give us a lot of wonderful gifts. Now, let me just mention three of them tonight, and the first part of Lydia's song goes along with the first couple that I want to mention. Do you ever stop and think that your spouse is a gift from God? A gift from God. We can go back to the book of Genesis and read in Genesis chapter 2, where God had created Adam, and he had brought all the animals to Adam, and Adam had named all the animals. And the Bible says, "But there was not a helpmeet found for Adam." And in that chapter, the Bible describes how God put Adam to sleep and took one of his ribs and the flesh around that rib and made Eve a helpmeet for Adam. And he brought her unto Adam, And I know what the Bible says, where Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." I sort of think the first thing he said was, "Wow. Wow." It's like, "Lord, is this for me?" And God would look around and say, "Well, look around, bud. There ain't nobody else. Of course it's for you." And a gift from God. Now, I think Adam probably realized it a lot more than we do sometimes, because there wasn't anybody else. I mean, she was made for him. And I always tell married couples when I marry them, if they're marrying in God's will, that's the same thing God does for them. That if they're following the Lord's leadership and marrying the husband and wife that that he wants for them, it is a gift from him, prepared as much for them as Eve was prepared for Adam. And so a gift from God. And you know, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, the Bible says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother," and this is Adam talking, "shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And you ever stop and think, Adam didn't have a father and mother. But he said, for this reason. I think God had put in his mind what was, you know, the natural scheme of things. And Adam realized that, you know, the relationship that he had with his spouse was a gift from God and was to be, after his relationship with God, to be the most important relationship in his life. And so I would remind you tonight that your husband, your wife, is a gift from God. And I know some of you might be a little, hesitant to say, well, preacher, that might be easy for you to say, but you don't know mine. He or she is no gift from God. Well, I'll just say to you tonight, if you considered each other a gift from God, it would probably help you to realize more that it is a gift from God. And so our spouse is one of the good and perfect gifts, as the Bible says in the book of James, chapter 1, a good gift and every perfect gift. Our spouses are one of those gifts that come from God. Second thing I would remind you tonight is our children are gifts from God. In Psalm 127, verse 3, the Bible says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Every little baby, every little life that comes into our families is a gift from God. And again, some of you might say, well, right, you don't know my little baby, who's not so little anymore. But they've gotten off course, and they've disappointed me, and they've caused all sorts of heartaches and heartbreaks. And that may be true. But I would remind you tonight that every one of your children, no matter how old they are, no matter what the circumstances of their life are, they are still a gift to you, a good and perfect gift from God the Father. And then I would hasten to add a third one. Friends are a gift from God. Folks that he brings into your life that love you regardless of being able to see all your faults, all your warts, know that your feet stink just like anybody else, and people that you can be yourself with, be yourself around with, and they stick with you because God has developed a bond of friendship between you. And again, those three things, our spouses, our children, our friends, and there's many other things that I can mention tonight, but I just do that by way of introduction to say all of those are good and perfect gifts that come down from the Father above. But the greatest gift of all, and I'm sure when you noticed my title in the bulletin this morning, you knew what the greatest gift was, but the greatest gift of all was the gift that God gave that we celebrate this time of year, the greatest gift of all that God has given to every single one of us is his only begotten Son, Jesus. In John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And tonight, in a real simple message, I want to give you four reasons why Jesus is God's greatest gift. Number one, he's God's greatest gift because it's a gift that lasts forever. Forever and ever and ever and ever. Romans 6:23, the last part of that verse. "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." The gift of Jesus is the greatest gift of all because it's a gift that will last for eternity. The life that he gives us is eternal life. And he is able to save to the uttermost because he ever liveth. He will be a gift that will be with us as if we know him for all eternity. And it will be a gift that we can enjoy when we first receive it forever and ever and ever and ever. And I know some of you might say, well, isn't that true about our spouses? And I would remind you tonight that Clinton Wanda's anniversary, they're going to celebrate this week, 59, that's the exception rather than the rule in today's world. Long marriages are becoming a thing of the past. And I'm so glad we have so many examples in this church of people that have gotten married and stuck it out through thick and thin and are examples to us that it can be done with the Lord's help. But even if you stay married for all of your life, the Bible tells us that not going to be given in marriage in heaven. And so even though we will enjoy our spouses all our life, hopefully on this earth, when we get to heaven, we'll have a different kind of relationship. And that relationship that we have as husband and wife won't last for eternity. You might say, well, my children will be my children forever. Even in heaven, they will be my children. No, not quite. I mean, I think we'll know each other, but we'll be brothers and sisters in heaven, brothers and sisters in Christ, not brothers and sisters in a family sort of way. And some would say, well, I have friends that will last forever. No, different friendships end. Nobody has any friends in hell. And even in heaven, we'll be closer than friends. Again, because we'll be brothers in Christ. But the gift that came from God in the form of that little baby that was born in Bethlehem and laid in a manger is a gift that will last forever for all eternity. Because you see, the life that we now enjoy in Christ, if we're Christians, is the same life that we're going to have eternally. You know, I talk to people all the time. They say, I can't wait to get to heaven so I can start my eternal life. And I say, look, your eternal life has already started. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven. You have it now in Jesus Christ. He said, he said in the book of John chapter 10, I've not come to just give you life. I've come to give you life more abundantly. And as we live in Christ, we can get a taste of heaven. And we're going to talk about heaven in a minute. But the life that we have in Jesus Christ now is the life that we're going to have in him for eternity. The forgiveness that we have now in Christ will be forgiveness that lasts forever. The love that we enjoy in him today will, again, go on for all eternity. That love we will feel in heaven. The pardon and the mercy and the grace that we have in him today, we will enjoy for all eternity. And so the gift that we have in Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all is a gift that's going to last forever, forever, forever. It's the greatest gift because it never changes. It never changes. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, the Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Sometimes we sing that little chorus. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. He never changes. I'll tell you, if you haven't experienced it yet, your spouse will change. Won't be the same as when you first got married. You as a spouse will change. Your children will change. They'll grow up and they'll be different when they're older than when they were younger. Your friends will change. But praise God, Jesus will never, ever change. He's the greatest gift of all. Not only because it lasts forever, but it's a gift that never changes. Number three, Jesus is the greatest gift of all because as we receive that gift, it changes us. It changes us. When I receive the gift of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, I was changed from a sinner to a saint. God took all of my sins and put them in the record books of heaven. He put them on the record that Jesus Christ had. And he bore that record to Calvary's cross, and he died for every one of my sins. And up in heaven, God took the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and again, in the record books of heaven, he put that on my record. And so when I stand before God, I stand justified because I don't stand with my sins, even though I'm a sinner, and even as a Christian, I still sin. All of my sins are under the blood. They've been paid for, and I stand before God just as if I never sinned. I stand before God with the righteousness of Jesus Christ on my record. And when I got changed from a sinner to a saint, all the penalty that I faced as a sinner went away. No longer was there a gulf between me and God. No longer was there a barrier between God and me. I am his child. I am his heir. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And one day I will go to live with my father and my elder brother forever and ever and ever and ever. No longer do I face an eternity in hell. No longer am I going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be judged for my sins. No longer do I have to fear the fire of hell or the bottomless pit of hell or the worm that dieth not or the loneliness and the darkness that's in hell. I look forward to standing on a street of gold. I look forward to walking through a gate of pearl. I look forward to the tree of life that's going to be in heaven, a mansion prepared for me by Jesus Christ. I will be with the light of the world and the light of heaven. There is no need of the sun in heaven because the light of the world and the light of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ will be there and he will never go out. I will be with the bread of life and sit down at the table that he will set for me in heaven. And he will be my shepherd. A shepherd who even today, let me remind you, never slumbers nor sleeps. The little girl was quoting Psalm, the 23rd Psalm. And she said, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want, and that's all I want." And one of these days, I will go to that place. And I was changed, when I was changed from a sinner to a saint, I lost all the penalty of sin. When I was changed from a sinner to a saint, I was also free from the power of sin. No longer am I a slave to sin. No longer am I a slave to Satan. Satan, listen to me, Satan, if you're a Christian tonight, Satan can't make you do anything. It's absolutely wrong for a Christian when they get caught up in sin to say, "Satan made me do it." He didn't. If you're bad, it's because you chose to be bad. If you sinned, if I sinned, it's because we chose to do it. We sang that song that has a phrase. And Adam, I've been trying to think of this song all afternoon. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the what free?
Captive
free. What's the name of that song, Ruth Ann? What? Oh, for a thousand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. He breaks the power. The sin's already been canceled. It was canceled when I came into Christ. It was canceled when I got saved. But he breaks the power of that canceled sin. And it no longer has power over me. And when I was changed from a sinner to a saint, I'm looking forward to the day when we will be free from the presence of sin. We still have to live among it while we live in this world. We still have to see the results of it. The broken homes and the abused children and the hurt that people do to one another. But one day, sin itself will be vanquished. There will be no sin in heaven. And we will get to live in a place where there is no sin, no unrighteousness, no ungodliness. And forever, we will live in that place with our God. God gave the greatest gift of all when he gave us Jesus Christ because it's a gift that lasts forever. It's a gift that never changes. It's a gift that changes us. And then number four, my last point, it's a gift that is given to be shared. To be shared. You know, when you share other gifts with other people, in sharing, your part is diminished. Let's say I don't have one, but let's say I had a pocket full of candy. As I share that candy with Jordan, I am losing part of my candy. That's why I never share candy. Just teasing. But every other gift, as I share it with you, I am diminishing part of my gift. I am losing part of what's been given to me. I mean, if I share my children's time, or if I share my grandchild's time with somebody else, that means there's less time that I have to enjoy their time. But you know, when you share Jesus, your part is not diminished. I can share Jesus with Bob, and I can share Jesus with Dorothy, and I can share Jesus with Terry, and I can share Jesus with Bev and Tom, and I still have as much of them left as when I started sharing. In fact, there have been people that have been sharing Jesus with other people for years and years and years and years, and you know what? They have more of them today than they had when they started. Because the more you share them, the more you have of them. Because you've yoked up with him. He said, I'm come to seek and to save that which was lost. And when we yoke up with him and share him with others, he actually gives us more of himself. So the greatest gift that God gave, and he's given us some wonderful gifts. Good, like that verse says, good and perfect gifts. And we named a few of them tonight, and you can name 100 of them tonight. But the greatest gift that he gave us was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that gift, like any other gift, is only yours if you receive it. If you receive it. You know, come Saturday, or if you do it on Christmas Eve, come Friday night, you'll be together with those that you love, and you'll be exchanging gifts. And so this will never happen. I mean, it might happen in some cases, but it'll be the rare, rare exception. I have a present all wrapped up, and I said, Jameson, this present is just for you. I bought it just for you. You know what, Jameson, he'd be a really weird guy if he said, no, thank you, preacher, I don't want it. He would not say that, would he, Shaylin? Never. He takes every present you give him, right? Yeah, that's right. Most of us do. Most of us, when somebody gives us a gift, we wouldn't think of refusing it. Even if something that we don't like, we would take it and re-gift it, right? Hey, I know how that works. We take it and give it to somebody else, but we wouldn't refuse it. We wouldn't refuse it. And isn't it a shame that the greatest gift that God's given to us, so many people refuse. So many people say no. I'm glad as I look across this crowd tonight that the huge majority of here of us here tonight have received this greatest gift that God has offered. But there may be one or two that's here tonight that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And if you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, just believe that he wants to be your Savior. Believe that he did go to Calvary's cross and he paid for every one of your sins. And believe this book when it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you do that tonight, he'll save you. And again, I know most of us are Christians, but let's praise him tonight. Let's praise him for this most wonderful gift that we celebrate this time of year. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for that gift. the gift of your only begotten Son, who took all our sins, paid for them on Calvary's cross. I pray for us as Christians tonight that we would rejoice. We would rejoice at this time of year when we celebrate the Savior's birth. We would again sing a joyful hallelujah because you loved us enough to pay for our sins. Thank you, Jesus, for coming, going to that cross, dying in our place, and offering to each one of us, because of that, the greatest gift of all, the gift of eternal life. And Father, I pray if there's one person here tonight that's never seen their Savior, they do it right now. Father and Holy Spirit, help them understand they're a sinner, and the penalty for that sin is separation from you. But Jesus did pay the price. And if they'd ask him, he'd save them. I pray you help them do that tonight. Bless this time of invitation. Again, use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.